wasn't sure if you were going to do a podcast today. Nothing happened.
Yeah, you know, I almost canceled it last minute. I mean, we try to be topical, but when there's nothing going on in the world, what can you really talk about there, right?
I guess how you do it, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It's
Well, let me tell you about that traffic in downtown Denver.
I bet it's not as bad as Baltimore today.
Oh! Yeah, man. Yeah, nothing to talk about. There's no sex trafficking going on or previous rap moguls trying to escape the country via his private jet. Definitely not going on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm obsessed with is those fucking terrorists that Putin's torturing. Holy God.
Did you see some of those shots of these guys being wheelchaired into the courtroom?
Dude, one guy lost an eye. And they're pretty sure they cut off his penis. And then the other guy, they cut off his ear and shoved it in his mouth.
Yeah, that's rough, dude.
The guy said he didn't understand Russian, so they cut off his ear and shoved it in his mouth and said, do you understand now?
These guys were Turkish fellas? Or no, what were they? Tajikistan.
Tajikistan, yeah, whatever. Yeah. One of the stands.
One of the stands over there, which I think they've had their own internal conflicts with Russia, right? So I could see how there's some historical aspect to this whole thing. They looked kind of Arab, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what's crazy is I guess they're really having a hard time. ISIS took credit for it, but actually, this is what's crazy. It's not even ISIS.
No.
It's ISIS-K.
That's right.
Which apparently K stands for CIA.
Yes.
Because, dude, ever since they became ISIS-K, they have only attacked enemies of the United States.
Yeah, and it was specifically formulated, I believe, during Obama's presidency. ISIS was also a CIA creation during Obama's presidency. And this was just a subgroup of it. And I have no idea who they are, where they're placed. You remember, like, it was kind of easy for us to understand in 2001, right after 9/11, all right, we're going to go after the Afghanis. Right.
See, even you tried to prove a point there, but no, dude, it's the same shit. We didn't know who they were. Remember, it was Al Qaeda, and then it was the Taliban.
I was gonna double cross. Yeah, well, I was trying to think, where was Al Qaeda? They were in Pakistan, and then I was thinking in my head, did we bomb Pakistan?
No, we never touched Pakistan.
Okay, that's why
all the terrorists came from fucking Pakistan. As a matter of fact, when we invaded Afghanistan, they all just ran to the mountains of Pakistan.
Yes, okay. Because allegedly, right, Osama bin Laden was hiding out in Pakistan. Isn't that where we eventually killed him, Pakistan?
Yeah.
All right. I got that. Yeah. Well, according to the legend. Yeah.
Only two people have ever been killed like Osama bin Laden. That is Osama bin Laden and Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Which, oh, no, not Optimus. Was it Optimus Prime?
Well, I cried for both. All right. Yeah. I believe Shia LaBeouf was in both situations.
Oh, he was there for both. Yeah. And his car.
That's right, dude. It was Al Qaeda in Pakistan, which I guess we didn't bomb. But then for some reason we said we're going to bomb the Taliban in Afghanistan. And then, to just maybe make things go a little crazier, we're like, and then we're going to take out Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, for no reason.
He had the yellow cake
uranium. Like, Iran had the yellow cake.
Yellow cake uranium, dude. The first and only time we've ever heard of yellow cake uranium, by the way.
Yeah, never heard of it since.
It's never been a problem. Like, we've never been worried about it before or after anybody having yellow cake uranium.
And if anything, Iran had more ties to the terrorist organizations, and they were closer to making a bomb.
I'm pretty sure 12 of the 15 dudes who flew the planes into the buildings were Saudis.
Oh, yeah. Saudi was huge. Fuck, Osama bin Laden was Saudi. His family has all these connections with America. The only people allowed to fly out of America on 9/11,
yes,
was Bin Laden's family.
Yeah, man, it's outrageous.
And here we are now, ISIS K. Like, you guys just keep refreshing to be fresh.
Hey, now, you know, yeah. I am circling around over and over again the conspiracy drain of Putin set up this false flag.
That was my initial thought.
I'm thinking it was U.S., and I can curtail this, my U.S. theory, or I can combo it with what we're going to inevitably talk about, which is the event in the Baltimore Bridge. False flag makes the most sense, usually when it's involving Putin or... I feel like Russia does its own false flag event every 3 or 4 years. There's some apartment building that sets on fire. You know what I'm saying? There's just always some event happening in Russia where that would just make the most sense. Now, if it was CIA, right, or our side, clearly, through Ukraine, doing the ISIS-K, clearly Obama's ISIS, they would ultimately, I believe, retaliate in some nature immediately, right? And I'm not saying retaliate like we're going to start firing the nukes over there. No, I just mean retaliate with a terrorist attack in kind.
Or at least attack Tajikistan, whatever that place is.
Well, right? But I'm just saying, I'm arguing it was either false flag or the U.S. was behind it, right? What are the other options here?
Oh, no. This is Nord Stream Pipeline. It was either Putin or CIA.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
There's no
in
between.
There's no in between. Yeah. There's no other country involved here or group or variation of the spectrum of ISIS that exists out there in the Middle East. Like, no, we're talking either Putin did it to start some kind of thing on, you know, in his country, or, you know, maybe he needs to tighten some freedoms, restrict some speech going on over there, right? Or... maybe, most likely, it was us trying to stoke the flames of World War III. And if that's the case, you would expect Putin to immediately retaliate in some nature. Well, I think what happened in Baltimore was a terrorist attack.
Nah, that's not Putin. He could do better than that.
Well, maybe you don't want to be so overt.
Eight people, he could do better than that.
Well, no, you're thinking just in casualties. I'm thinking more in economics.
Dude, we could lose all of Baltimore. What are we getting out of there? Come on. Come on. As a matter of fact, you take Baltimore, we'll give you Philadelphia as payment. You know what I'm saying? Just go ahead and knock out a bunch of those East Coast states.
Did you watch the footage of this boat, man? It takes like an intense turn and just goes right for the pylon holding up one, you know, the bridge there. And
the sped up footage looks really suspect.
It's highly suspect. And the lights go out, the power goes out. It kind of looks like a bit of a cyber attack. And I saw that floated around a lot in the old interwebs this week. So, conspiracy theory time. Get your tinfoil hats ready, people. I have Laura Logan. Do you follow her at all?
No idea who it is.
Perfect. No. This is beautiful. All right. She's a right winger, podcast lady. She loves to kind of go all in on the right wing fear porn. You know what I mean? Like, she's big on we're going live from Peru, or we're getting the inside scoop on the invasion coming through Mexico.
Oh, well, hey, she should fill Candace Owens' spot.
That's right, dude. Well, I got her talking about the bridge attack. That's what we're calling it. It's a cyber attack, and she's going to lay it down for us here.
It's not terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's not. It might not be terrorism. But why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type, we need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words. right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals, everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen, just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
All right, come on, cyber attack, yeah, man.
Nah, you can see cyber attacks. You can always find the code and the evidence.
All right, well, maybe they haven't dug yet, but I think it's an interesting take, and I'm not fully on board, but I found it to be a very unique perspective, potentially. You know, maybe some cyber warfare going on, and either way, I've took the opportunity to read up on a little history on the bridge, man. Fascinating stuff. I found out I was highly uninformed about the War of 1812 and the importance of Baltimore during that war. You know, the president at the time, Andrew Jackson, I think it was, he and the cabinet members and everyone, they like barely escaped in the night right before the British got into Washington, D.C. and ransacked it and burned the Capitol and White House to the ground. And they escaped to a little Quaker village north near Baltimore. And then the assault from the British on Fort McHenry in Baltimore was going to be kind of a the final blow, if you will, to the colonists or to the Americans at this point. And then allegedly, at the exact same time this final battle was happening over at Fort McHenry, Francis Scott Key was in a boat of neutrality between the British and the Americans, and he was negotiating terms to free a captured soldier, someone that was a diplomat or something. I can't remember the exact details, but either way, he was able to free the fella. And as part of the terms, they had to sit on the boat, watch the siege of Baltimore, and wait for the battle to be over to be able to go back. And, you know, as the story goes, when the smoke cleared, he saw the flag still there.
Yeah.
And
it's the anthem.
And he was inspired to write the poem, and he did so, and through some various edits and what have you, that's how we eventually voted it in, like 200 years later, or 100 years later, it was like 1933 or something, we finally agreed to make it our national anthem. But I thought that was pretty fascinating stuff, and what a historic bridge to go down, man. It almost seems appropriate for our modern era, where we are just keen on destroying everything from the past.
The most chilling part of the story is in the song, "The Flag Was Still There." The reason it never fell is because men kept running out to hold it up. And by the end, it was just a pile of dead men and their bodies were holding up the flagpole.
Yeah, man. America, baby.
That's America.
Oh, yeah.
They sacrificed themselves to hold up that flag. They refused to let it go down.
So regardless of what this incident is, probably a horrible accident, and I can only assume This is in some way or another completely linked to the fact that our transportation secretary took 2 months leave of absence to breastfeed his adopted kids at the beginning of his term. And then following his breastfeeding affair and maternity leave, we had a year of train derailments, black smoke clouds, doors flying off of airplanes in the middle of the air, planes nearly colliding as they're landing, and then now... let's enjoy this one.
Frank, those plane accidents, that's after months and months of not even being able to get on a plane. Remember, yes, we like didn't have pilots and stuff.
That's right, man. And so here's a nice little cherry on top in year four of Pete Buttigieg's reign of terror as the Secretary of Transportation. He gives us a bridge collapse, and how symbolic of what this administration has done. They have just literally crumbled the essence of America. The man who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. And is there anything more symbolic of Biden and his team, dude, and the fact that they have been pushing the new Star Spangled Banner before football games, right? We might as well just get rid of the anthem now that we got rid of the bridge named after the guy who wrote it.
Might as well. Nah, I'm not buying the conspiracy because I think it would be so hard to turn that boat into it.
Well, you're talking.
I think it's almost harder to hit it than miss it.
You're talking to a guy who saw the report on the Carnival cruise ship that caught on fire. Did you see the jet engine on it, like, burst into flames? And my immediate first thought was, Jewish space laser, obviously. We all know that was a space laser from space, or from the moon, man. Come on.
Plus, they're all just diesel engines. They don't have jet engines.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. So either way, what I'm trying to say is we got lasers in space, baby. We're shooting stuff out of the sky. So, I love a good conspiracy. I enjoyed it immediately. That's why I wanted to toss it on the show, because I'm sure everybody everywhere is obsessed over this bridge collapse or whatever occurred. I saw wilder conspiracies out there. There are people who zoomed in on the live footage of the collapse and are claiming there were pieces of dynamite placed at certain spots, and you can see mini explosions going on as the thing is falling to the ground or the water.
I know. And then people are talking about, like, the workers. What were they doing on the bridge? You know, come on.
But I want to say it's a little more comforting to believe in a conspiracy theory here. It's a little more frightening to think our country is so incompetent in our infrastructure is just so destroyed and crumbled that the bridges are falling now.
Nah, dude. I think it's more of, I was listening to some engineers talk about it, and they were saying that the biggest problem is when the bridge was built, they couldn't even fathom a boat as big as this cargo ship.
Oh, right, man. Yeah.
So that's why it wasn't built with, like, the bridges we're building now, we're putting things in front of the piers, you know what I mean? We're doing deflectors and stuff, so this won't boat won't take them down. They had fucking steamboats when this thing was built.
That's right. They didn't predict that we would need giant carriers to bring in massive wide loads of large waisted pants for all the obese people in this country.
We need large boats for the dildos and fentanyl we're bringing from China.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Think of all the consumerism we have going on here, man. Come on. We need to cram the biggest boat we can find through this hole. Yeah.
I mean, did you see the size of the boat? It's not even a boat. It's a ship. It's huge.
I'm actually surprised. Like, how did they even fit it, like, or plan to fit it under the bridge? It doesn't even seem like it was going to work.
Well, that is one thing. I guess they have this thing because you're supposed to have a tugboat pulling you, but apparently they're able to call off the tugboat early, and that's what happened here.
Oh, I'm throwing it out there now. George Soros called off the tugboat. You heard it here first, all right? Well, this is all fantastical and crazy, especially considering in the transportation world, the fantastical and outrageous conclusion to the poor man who tried to spill the beans on Boeing and what they were doing with their safety standards and their manufacturing plants.
Oh, yeah.
And then let's just quietly sweep under the rug the fact that the CEO of Boeing is just going to step down. Sorry, I'll see you guys later. Good luck. Thanks for the ride.
with that blood on my hands? Don't worry about that blood on my hands. No, no big deal. No big deal. Did you see? I did like the conspiracy of Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law having something to do with this.
Very interesting.
Because, you know, she was like the CEO of one of the largest shipping companies in the world. There's like this false claim out there that she actually worked for, she was the CEO of the company that owns the boat. That's not true. But it is a little suspect. She dies in this really bizarre accident.
Which we covered. She freakishly, accidentally reverses in her Tesla into a pond and drowns.
They say she was on the phone for 8 minutes while underwater.
Her friends were pounding on the glass while it was sinking, trying to rip it open, you know, get the doors open and bust through. Nothing would work.
Yeah, you got to make sure you keep one of those window breakers next to you.
It all reminds me of the scene in I, Robot when Will Smith is in the guy's house and he's finding the files on the computer and the AI changes the self-destruction of the house to like the moment like Will Smith is there and it just starts trying to eat Will Smith.
Oh no, where's Shia LaBeouf? Is this Eagle Eye? What's going on here?
Oh man. But yeah, I all this traveling talk and migration nonsense and you know, the migrant stuff is just pissing everybody off here in Colorado. I saw a great Bumblebee the Babylon Bee article that I rarely reference on the show or talk about with anyone, but it tickled me, and I just wanted to read the headline as per usual. I think that's all you really need. But it says, vacationing family poses as illegal immigrants to get free hotel room in New York City. Yeah, man.
Makes sense. Why not?
It's an old one, but I thought it was funny, and it makes a lot of sense nowadays. How are the migrants treating you in the Chi-Town these days? I imagine it's mostly migrants now at the rate that they were pouring in.
Dude, I have never been propositioned for sex so much in my life.
Oh, it's actually, that's the new thing now, huh? All right,
dude,
man.
Yeah, these girls are they're walking the streets now. Like you go, but there's this one gas station by the school that I stop off, you know, get a Gatorade during lunch and stuff. I do it all the time. I needed a Red Bull the other day because they bring in this substitute teacher that's about 140 years old. Can't understand anything he says. I literally popped, I took 20 milligrams of edibles and then drank a Red Bull.
Wow.
Best class ever.
Yeah.
Time flew by. But while I was in line at this gas station, all these fucking migrants kept walking in, and I got propositioned by like 4 different girls.
All right, man. What's the going rate there?
I didn't even ask, dude. They're right. Nasty as hell, dude. They're like,
oh, I know. I'm sure. It's a rough scene, and I'm sure it's getting rougher there. I read this is a couple days ago, maybe even a week ago. Everyone kind of seemed to forget about it. I thought it would become bigger news, but the Biden administration, they like failed to process something like 200,000 migrant deportation cases, and so they just threw them away.
Yeah, wow. Make them voters.
200,000, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, dude, you saw that clip I sent you from Chicago. It's not a winning topic for you Democrats.
That's
I don't
right.
care what you think is going to happen. They did this like town hall in Chicago, and Mayor Johnson decided to just stand there while they gave people 3 minutes each to say their piece. And for it's a 30-minute video where it's all legal immigrants who have come to this country legally. And now they're yelling at him for ruining their neighborhoods with illegal immigrants. It's unbelievable.
That's not fair. I think it's pretty obvious this is all Greg Abbott's fault in Texas.
Oh, yeah, but he's in a wheelchair. Can't
oh, right. That would be a little ableist of us.
You don't
want to
be ableist.
Yeah. Oh, man. So they're definitely going to still vote Democrat then in the next mayoral election, I imagine.
Well, yeah, the runoff is always between a Democrat and a Democrat.
A Democrat, man.
What are you going to do? We're famous for our election, our last election when Lori Lightfoot won. It was between two black lesbians. So it was either the Democrat black lesbian or the Democrat black lesbian.
Here in Denver, Mayor Mike Johnston. We got our own Johnston over here. Johnston. Or is yours a Johnston as well?
No, Johnston.
It's okay, yeah, that's right. All right, so we got, yeah, we got the Johnston. And I've talked about it before. He is really hung up on the, I'm going to house 1,000 homeless. And he did it, allegedly, heading into the new year. And now he's going to do like 1,000 more or something like 2,000 more. But I follow this, these two gals on the old X, the one you used to call Twitter. And they have a handle called Do Better Denver. And it's daily. These chicks are going around town with videos of, you know, homeless people just crapping in the street in front of the 7-Eleven, in front of a school, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's just horrible, terrible videos of strung out, zombified, cranked out. Or what was it? Trank?
Trank. Oh, yeah,
tranked out. Tranked out zombies, right? Just like kind of like laying on the road. If you're seeing it in Chicago and you're seeing it in New York or LA, it's here in Denver as well. And these girls have been putting out some good stuff. And I think that we're starting to get a little exposure in the mainstream. I've been seeing their stuff on X in news articles now, in the main news here in Colorado. And Mike Johnston is at the heart of this. He now has established two spots. There's one, I can't remember exactly, Alameda and somewhere. It's an essential massive tent city around an abandoned apartment building where anybody who didn't fit the criteria or stand by the standards in the hotels he set up for the 1,000 plan, they have now been pushed to this tent city where nobody really sees or the cameras don't go. And then the migrants who are part of his other housing initiative where he guarantees them 2 months stay with the credit card and all the nonsense, once that expires, they push them all to this empty parking lot by Elitch Gardens, which is it's R6 Flags that's abandoned essentially right now. And so now there's a massive migrant city in Elitch Gardens, essentially, in R6 Flags.
And I can only imagine that it's very clean, very well kept.
Well, the thing is, spring is upon us. And so the main article today in the news was migrants upset because a major sweep was coming to clean them out of Elitch Gardens so they can open up the rides for the summer, dude. Like, we got Memorial Day around the corner. We got to clean this place up, man. This isn't a place to house migrants. So, you know, the House 1000 initiative, the House the Migrant initiative, the Sanctuary City, where you get the free stay for the 1 month, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, well, plus it's not an achievement. Taking my money and buying a hotel for 1,000 homeless guys, that's not an achievement. Lower my fucking taxes.
Yes.
That's an achievement.
Dude, it's unbelievable the size of these 10 cities we have now. One for the regular homeless, and that's in an abandoned part of South Denver where nobody goes. And then the migrants are kind of in a more showy place where we could show it off to the world. Like, see, we're a sanctuary.
Yeah, I know. And I'm really glad we're giving ours Ventra cards, so now they could all travel throughout Chicago to panhandle in different locations.
Now, is the Ventra card for traveling on the L or on the Metro?
That's for the O.
All right, man.
No, the Metro goes to the suburbs.
That's where
they're not having that.
Oh, they're gonna. That's where they're gonna start sending them, man. I'm telling you right now. One way ticket to the end of the Metro line.
Yeah, take that, Harvard. That's Harvard, Illinois, not the school.
Yeah, that's right. Or should just send them to Harvard, actually.
They could probably teach a class or two. I mean, Jesus Christ, you got Brian Stelter and Lori Lightfoot teaching there. Like, literally the epitome of failure teaches
oh, man.
At Harvard.
Well, speaking of teachers and doctors and books, maybe even book banning, I didn't put it on the docket, but I did the clip this morning. It's a quick one. I got Dr. Jill Biden, your favorite doctor, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
She's talking about book banning and how the Republicans are Nazis. You want to hear a quick one?
I love it. Yes, I love this.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear.
It takes 4 years. Just ask her husband.
Subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law. Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe.
Wait. How old is the LGBTQ party?
Yeah, they didn't know what the fuck that was.
What is she talking about?
What
is she talking about, man? That's the most insane shit I've ever heard.
You know, Germans, really known for their sexuality.
It was always the gay hub of the world. That's what everybody called it. Right?
I can't even, like, picture Germans having sex.
Okay, there you go.
They're like the closest thing you can get to robots.
All right, Dr. Jill Biden. We're gonna continue on this crazy train.
LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses.
Like more than France?
I know.
Come on. More than Paris?
Spain? Have you seen the Spaniards? Like, come on.
Oh,
man.
Those are just how they dress.
I know. That's, we've covered this before. Yeah, that's right.
They just don't know.
They're very affectionate.
Yeah. And their pants, they just like those tight pants for some reason. I haven't figured it out.
I know. It's the tight pants that get me, man. All right.
Right. And then another, and then another. Until one morning you wake up and you no longer live in a democracy.
Is she talking about right now?
She
just described the last 4 years.
You know what? I remember going to sleep 4 years ago, and I wake up today, and you guys are laughing about how Donald Trump can't even run a campaign because he's in court so many days.
Oh,
dude, the Trump Save Pod guys were literally laughing about how he's going to next week. He's in court Monday. He's in court Tuesday. He's in court Thursday and Friday. Well, I guess he could fly around the country on Wednesday. That's funny.
Well,
come on, dude.
He can fly in one of his private jets he owns now that he's valued as a billionaire again.
I know. Did you see all the news coming out? I'm so happy they hit Jon Stewart with it.
I saw a blurb before we went live, and it is, I believe, in the vein of Jon Stewart also dramatically overvalued his home by hundreds of millions of dollars.
By 840% in order to get a loan.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he's going to owe $400 million to the state of New York? Is that how this works?
It's only funny because he dedicated a good chunk of his show this week to it.
Oh, he was making fun of him so much about it.
Yeah.
Dude, they loved the idea that he was going broke.
They were obsessed, man, and it was disgusting to me. The masturbatory way that these people were really into the state confiscating this man's assets.
It was the most undemocratic thing I've ever seen.
It's crazy. And they were rooting for it.
And then they wonder why his poll numbers went up.
Yeah, the more they make this guy a victim of the state, the more they kind of prove his point that there is a political witch hunt and the entire system is against him.
Well, his whole campaign is, look, they don't like you, so they're going after me.
Yes.
And then their response is, no, we just love democracy so much, we have to get rid of all opponents. We only want one person on the ballot, and then everybody in the news is going to say we're doing great, even though you could clearly see that we're not. You know, it's a little weird. Dude, the state media thing, I mean, come on, look what happened with Ronna McDaniel, whatever her name is.
Did you read the docket? I have some Rona. Yeah, I wanted to.
I got it late.
I wanted to cover it. I know I was running late today, dude.
Work but dude, come on! You keep talking about ending democracy, ending democracy. You can't even have one Republican on the TV.
So, well, it's not true. I think they have some defector defector Republicans on the MSNBC. No.
MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski. They all said we can't have Ron and McDaniel. We only like honest Republicans. Like Liz Cheney. It's crazy that Liz Cheney is their hero.
The daughter of Dick Cheney, one of the most diabolical Republicans to ever live. The guy is just pure evil, man. So, Rona McDaniel, I will be totally honest. I think up until about 1 minute ago, I had no idea who this person was.
Yeah.
She was the RNC leader, apparently. I remember people like Trump and even Vivek Ramaswamy Ding Dong. They were calling for her ouster. Is she married to Mitt Romney or related to him or something?
I know it's in her name. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, so I think she might be Romney's wife. I knew nothing about her. And then I saw she was gone as the RNC chair, and I noticed that they conveniently put in Laura Trump. Is that right? They got a Trump now in the RNC chair, which I found fascinating.
That's pretty awesome.
Pretty
She's
much.
She's the niece of Senator Mitt Romney.
There it is. All right. It's nepotism all the way down, folks.
Oh, on both sides.
Yes, everywhere.
Why did they make her the head of the RNC chair? Well, there was no more spots in the fucking Ukraine energy sector, you know?
So she got fired. MSNBC decides they're going to hire this broad to be the Republican viewpoint, counterpoint on the show. And then all of a sudden, I guess the hosts of all their nighttime shows, Joe Scarborough, Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid, Nicole Wallace, Jen Psaki Atumi, and Lawrence O'Donnell, they all publicly protested about this hiring. And so the executives there acquiesced, and they fired McDaniel. And so now they don't have any Republicans there, which is good.
Well, so you could get a nuanced opinion, you know?
Well, I decided there's no way I'm going to have a good opinion. I have a one-sided opinion, so we should really find the other side, right? What do the victors of this scenario believe?
Mm.
So I got us the goods. I grabbed a little back and forth between Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow celebrating their takedown of this lady. Who I don't feel sorry for, Rona McDaniel, niece of Mitt Romney. This chick's probably been filthy rich her entire life and is probably going to find a nice gig and some Boeing CEO job somewhere.
But to have somebody like Joy Reid say that this lady's not okay because she's only going to follow the party line? Joy Reid?
Yeah,
you are state TV.
I know, it's so weird.
It's insane. I've seen a more bipartisan opinion on Russian TV than Joy Reid.
But this is state propagandist television. You're all in bed together. Stop bullshitting us.
Yes.
We know there's no you versus each other. It's us versus you.
They even say Joe Biden will not start his day until after he's watched MSNBC.
There it is.
You know what I mean? And they even said, it's my funniest thing I've ever read because the biggest thing that they had on Trump was that his people have to call in to Fox News just so Trump will listen to them. Yeah. It turns out that all those people in Biden's administration, they literally tell these guys what to say so that they could get a message to Joe Biden.
kind of a waste of an effort, in my opinion. You're talking to a guy with dementia. He doesn't remember anything you're saying.
I know.
Talking to the handlers, I guess, right?
They keep bringing up these talking points. Like that clip you played of Jill. I mean, where are you guys getting these talking points?
I just played that to dip into a little crazy for everyone, just to feel the insanity from the other side. Because that's on another level, man.
Yeah, it really is.
I think with her, I think she's drinking the Kool-Aid.
What did she say? She didn't say the bleach thing. She said something else.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. Whatever.
Well, the book banning, the don't say gay. I love the don't say
gay. Don't say gay. Dude, come on. How many? Okay, I'm going to play your game. I'm playing your game. You're right. It's illegal to say gay in Florida. How many people have been arrested for saying gay?
Right.
Right?
That's right, man.
How many people? You know, how many people injected bleach?
I think one. There's somebody, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, there was an article or something out there where...
No, you're thinking of hydroxychloroquine.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
Everybody was trying to prove that it was misinformation that's killing people because one bitch injected her husband with fucking, like, what was it, pool cleaner or something?
Yeah, there was something going on there. I think it was more of like, I need to kill this guy.
Yeah, she killed her husband on purpose. That's why you stopped hearing about the story. You know what I mean? If it was all true, she would have been sitting at the State of Union address, and Joe Biden would have pointed her out.
Man, people lost their freaking minds over "Don't Say Gay." That was hilarious.
Don't say gay. I know.
You remember Ron Perlman? Say gay. Say.
And the book banning. All they're doing is putting an age limit on certain books, like ones that talk about incestual gay sex. Very graphically. They're just saying, don't read it before you're 13. So if you don't let Playboy into the fucking elementary school, is that book banning?
Yeah, man, I think so. According to their rules, right? They want the kids to have access to all that kind of information, right?
Yeah, we all know why.
Are we allowed to say it now? Can you say the word grooming, or is that still a big no-no?
No, it's only if Diddy did it.
Oh, and that's... You know? I think I'm going to save Diddy for the second episode.
I know, but it is the best part. It's grooming doesn't happen, grooming doesn't happen. And then here comes this 16-year-old girl who's like, that guy was grooming me. You know, it's like...
Well, did you see any of the Nickelodeon documentary that came out?
I didn't watch it, but I really have to, because a lot of people are freaking out about it.
Freaking out as in they might be in trouble?
They're protesting too much. Makes me think everything in that movie is true.
Who's protesting too much here?
Like all the people that were named in that video. Like that Nickelodeon guy.
All right. Well, the dude who did the interview, who did he do? Was it like Tucker? Or he got interviewed by someone. It was really
probably Don Lemon.
It was very random. Yeah, the fella at the heart of the controversy behind Nickelodeon, did they ever go down the road of grooming the kids, though? I feel like it was more about them being, like, abusive to them, but not in a sexual way.
Oh, no, the actors are coming out, and they're all saying that they were being groomed as kids.
Wow, okay. All right, man. Yeah. Well, I think it was pretty obvious when you watch it. Right, like.
Oh yeah, never let your kid be a child star.
And a whole TV channel designed for kids, starring kids. You gotta imagine it's nothing but creeps behind the camera, right? Directing and styling.
Yeah, who wants to be around kids? It's the same thing with the crossdressers wanting to read to kids.
I know.
Who wants to hang out with kids that aren't theirs? I'm suspicious.
Most people don't even want to hang out with their own kids, man.
I know.
They're always pawning their kids on other people so they could go do fun stuff.
Trying to live that dink life, you know what I'm saying?
Where my dinks at, man? Yeah. Did we ever play the dink clip?
Nah, that's one of my favorite clips.
I think I have it. All right, so we got down and dirty with the dink term, which is... dual income, no kids, I believe.
Yeah, that's what the gay people say.
Yeah, that's what we're. That's what fellows like me cruising around in our Subarus like to claim. So, Mike, I recall you were completely blown away by the dink. And then the next day or so, maybe a week later, you sent me something about a dink. And I was enlightened. Let's get down.
These guys show us how to make a perfectly solid slab of concrete without any cracks or creases using one simple tool. Now, what makes this video interesting is the name for the tool that they use to make the concrete slab flush. And it has two names, and I don't know which one's worse. So first off, they fill up this glass container so that we can see what's going on beneath the surface. So even though it might look flat on the top, you're going to have to do more repairs, and there's going to be more cracks in your concrete slabs if you don't use this method. So the goal is to make all six sides perfectly flush with no cracks or crevices. So that's...
And he's got this box that's clear, and it's filled with the cement. It's actually pretty cool. It's very interesting, very informational. But let's hear about the dink.
Well, what he's showing you is how you have, like, bigger, and it's like you have rocks, and the aggregate gets progressively smaller. And so if you just pour it in and you don't mix it or anything, it's going to settle awkwardly, you know?
And then you bring in the dink.
About this tool. Its government name is Concrete Vibrator. Not great. But what they call it on the streets, though, they call it the dink. I don't know which one's worse, but somebody's got to work on a name for this tool. But nonetheless, the tool works flawlessly.
This guy's a fag, so he doesn't want to say it, but dink comes from the combination of donkey dick.
No, seriously?
Yeah, donkey dick. Because what made me laugh is, you know, there's other things, that, like, if you're on a construction site, there's other things that are, anything big, black, and phallus-like is going to be either a donkey dick or a dink or, you know.
All right. I'm enlightened, indeed, at this point. I had no idea. I wish I had this information locked in before the fella, the friend of mine, told me about being a dink and celebrating his dink lifestyle. I could have so quickly just ruined his life by saying, you know, dink is, what was it again?
It's a donkey dick.
Dink.
Dink.
Dink is a donkey dick.
Yeah.
Would have changed his life.
Because a lot of times, like, especially us, we work in school, so you can't just go around yelling out donkey dick, you know?
Yeah, you could probably get in trouble for yelling out the donkey dick. So you go dink.
Especially when you're like, hey, man, give me that donkey dick. And then he comes out of the truck with this giant black dick-looking thing.
Oh, yeah, man. That's why Guy Talk is so awesome on the work site, man.
Oh, it's the best.
It just, you don't get that kind of conversation anywhere else, man.
I told you, dudes are still contemplating the question of the era. Do
That's
you fuck
right.
the dude with a vagina
yes.
or the chick with a dick?
I still don't know.
I don't know which makes you gay, to be honest with you.
I just don't know which one I could remain, like, able to do anything for.
I've just come to the conclusion I'm taking the bullet.
Yeah, you just kill me now.
Gun to my head, I gotta fuck the dude with a vagina or the chick with a dick. I don't want to live in this world. I'll take the bullet.
Yeah, that yeah. is, this world is not made for me. I'm out.
You're actually doing me a favor with this. Thank you.
I now see the light.
What's that, War Games? The only way to win is to not play at all. You know?
Oh, man. Yes. Well, I'm glad the guys out there are enjoying the question. It is actually a profound and deep philosophical question. I really believe you've probably changed people's lives.
Well, I think the worst part about that question is you can say it and everybody knows what you're talking about. Nobody even questions the question.
Right.
10 years ago, every guy in the job site would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude with a vagina? Chick with a dick. You know what I mean? What are you talking about?
Well, it sounds hilarious at first, and then when you start to process it, It remains funny for a bit, but then when you start going into the details of the beard on such and such with the, you know, the hairy legs and all, then, you know, you start to get really disturbed, I feel like.
It becomes, yeah, because...
Right? You're kind of like, yeah, oh, this
is... It becomes a haunting experience.
Yes, it's very haunting. And you just kind of start to really, maybe even deeply consider what truly has gone wrong with our society.
Yeah, and the worst part is we're having this conversation in schools in Chicago, so there's literally kids walking around who are trans or whatever.
Most definitely, statistically, absolutely, probably, because... What is it, 30% with the Gen Z? Whatever that is.
Yeah. No, dude, you got to look at those stats, though. Most of these kids are claiming they're pansexual.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, apparently pansexual is somebody who's, like, you're not physically attracted. I don't know if I'm going to get this right. You're not physically attracted to somebody. So you're like, it's more of an emotional attraction. So anybody with a good personality, you can fall in love with. Which I thought that was just bisexual. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you guys are really reaching out to be original.
Yeah, I mean, in order to have a spectrum, you got to have a lot of different letters of the alphabet. So we got to throw in everything we got.
Yeah, but P's right? Not even on there. On the
I know. Yet. Yeah, why don't they include the P?
And they forgot about the P's.
Well, you know why they don't put the P in there for the pansexual? It's a little close to the pedophile.
Oh, yeah, but we call them maps now.
Right, but you put a P into that alphabet soup that you call your BLT sandwich community, and people are going to start asking questions.
Good call.
Right. Well, here in
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, please. I'm excited for where you got there.
I was going to say, we never got to the Joy Reid clip.
We never did it. Oh, my God.
You got Joy Reid, you got bumped by Donkey Dick, just so you know.
Yes, well, appropriately so. And I was just going to top on to our little discussion here about the gay. Denver, I thought this was fantastic news. Denver, among the list of potential cities to host, you guessed it, gay games.
Shut the what is, what the, f- shut up.
Yeah,
what is gay games?
I'm glad you asked. The Federation
you... Shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you asked me, and you could look it up. It's very easy. It's
called... No way. Federation of Gay Games? What are we talking about here?
Come on, man. I'm really excited for this one. Yeah, the Federation of Gay Games announced its list of potential cities to host the Gay Games 13. That's right. Count them, folks. There's been 13 years of the gay games in 2030.
Oh, my God. They had it in Hong Kong, Paris. I noticed none of them. You never hold it in an Arab country?
No China?
No Gaza Strip?
That's right, dude. Qatar?
We're the queers for Palestine.
All right. Well, yeah, we got Gay Games 13, 2030. And Denver's one of 25 cities bidding for the spot. You can expect over 10,000, ooh, this is a mouthful, LGBTQIA plus 2S participants who compete in over 30 sporting events. The games welcome any adults, all genders, gay or straight, novice or elite, beginner athletes, or Olympic medalists, and or pedophiles. No, it doesn't say that. I added that last one, but, I'm sure they're
welcome. Whoever's running this gay games, we already have a gay games. It's figure skating.
That's right.
It's in the Olympics.
Yes.
Come on.
And whatever that event where they twirl the ribbon.
No, dudes don't do that.
No, they don't have dudes doing that? Come on. You got to have some dudes doing the ribbon.
Dude, you got to see this map of host nations.
For the gay games, man?
Oh, dude, apparently they've been doing it since 1982. So 82, 86, 90, 94... 2000 and 2000 have all been in America.
Of course.
And then you have Spain, France.
Oh, yeah.
I think two in France and England and Mexico and Hong Kong and Australia. So nobody in Africa is doing it. Nobody in the Middle East is doing it.
All right.
Nobody in Asia is doing it except Hong Kong.
Okay.
And nobody in South America.
Seems about right. Federation of Gay Games. Don't they have enough? They got a month. They do the whole weekend with the parades. We're doing the games now. This is exhausting, man. Well, good for them. It's weird, though, that the gay games that they're saying you can be straight.
What?
Yeah, it's what it said in the article. Which I thought to be kind of weird.
No. I don't get what it is.
Well, I think it's just Olympic Games and everyone's gay. I think that's all it is. That's what I'm saying. Do we need this? Is this necessary? Maybe in 1986, yeah, I'll give it to you in the 80s, even the 90s. I would say maybe you could have used some gay games. We didn't dedicate the entire month of June in the 90s to the gays.
And it all started in San Francisco. Dude, we just need to get rid of California.
Yeah.
Like, how much better would America be without California?
Really, like that earthquake that they keep threatening us with, where it's going to break off most of California, that could be a net positive. I think that we could potentially see, a gain through loss there.
I will not shed a single tear for California. I promise you that.
Yeah, man. California.
Oh, dude, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's outrageous, dude. And California's in a rough place right now. They just implemented this month the $20 an hour minimum wage, or it's about to go down. And as expected, as predicted, they're slashing jobs, man.
Yeah, of course.
Up and down the state, dude. Everyone's getting fired, man.
Yeah, you voted yourself out of a job. Good job, asshole.
They're going to replace everybody with kiosks. And, you know, California really is kind of the petri dish or the testing ground for these nut job liberal elitists. And if they can implement it in California, they spread it out to places like Colorado, unfortunately, and everywhere else. Basically, I think this massive increase in the wage is just an effort to see, like, if they could really get away with these new AI-powered kiosks and just shrink down the workforce to, like, one guy per shift in the McDonald's.
Nah, did you see what happened with Walmart? They lost so much money on those self-checkouts that now you have to pay an annual subscription to be able to use the self-checkout.
No way, man.
Yeah. See, kiosks were great, and they were saving money until we got rid of the cops. And then everybody just started stealing for no reason.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, I got us a good one from a local news report here in Denver for the next episode on just that very topic of the defunding of the police and the unintended consequences. But unfortunately, Mike, there's no doubt about it.
Just so you know, I'm so embarrassed. Chicago hosted Gay Game 7.
I knew it, dude! Come on!
God, I didn't want to even... I was going to keep it to myself, but... Man.
All right.
I knew we had to be in there.
Well, you've been outed. All right.
Like, just being here makes me half, at least.
Give you half, and now that we potentially are hosting here, I'm 7/8. So,
I think you were already 7/8. It was like 15, 16.
No, I remember I gained some eighthage when they put out the ammo advertisement before one of our videos on Rumble.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
So I'm a little bit more of a, well, we'll
seven
see.
Eighths.
7/8. That's a good spot to be in. Yeah.
Still got another hour to go. So
that's sure. Right. I don't have a lot of confidence. I'll be honest.
I might bet my money on it, not my life, is what I'm saying, you know?